What we want to do is we want to continue in our teaching in the book of Genesis. All right, does anybody remember from Ray's teaching last week what we talked about? And let me ask you a couple of questions as it pertains to last week's teaching. Do you remember what did Jacob's son do to their brother Joseph? Do you remember that, Marley? They threw him in the pit, and then they did something else. Once they threw him in the pit, they decided what to do with him. People were coming by, and they sold him into Lincoln? Into silver? Well, it does start with an S. They sold him into slavery. Yeah, close. All right, so Joseph's brothers, they made the decision because they didn't like the way that Joseph was being treated far better than they were. And so they made the decision that they were going to, first of all, they wanted to kill him, but then they made the decision that they were just going to sell him into slavery. Okay, and then there was another question that pertains to last week. Where was Joseph taken as a slave? Do you remember what country? So this one starts with an E. Egypt. Very good. So Joseph was taken as a slave to Egypt. And we're going to catch back up with Joseph a little bit later on in these teachings, but we're going to take a break from Joseph's life and his ministry or the plan that God had for him, and now we're going to focus on his older brother, Judah. And we're going to learn some things about Judah that aren't very appealing, but of course, our nature, our sin nature before God is sinful, it's stained, and we can see that bearing out in the life of Judah, which is the older brother of Joseph. So we're going to be in Genesis chapter 38, verses 24 through 30. So Genesis 38, those of you who have your Bibles with you, turn there with us. Genesis 38, verses 24 through 30. And as we read this scripture, think on these questions because this scripture will answer these questions. Okay, the first one is, who is Tamar? Who is Tamar? The second question is, how many babies did Tamar have in her womb? And then the third question that we should be able to answer from reading this scripture is, which of Tamar's sons came out first? So who was Tamar? How many babies did Tamar have in her womb? And which of Tamar's sons came out first? And this is found in Genesis 38, verses 24 through 30. So if you have your Bibles open, please read along with me. About 3 months later, Judah was told, Tamar, your daughter-in-law, has been immoral. Moreover, she is pregnant by immorality. And Judah said, bring her out and let her be burned. As she was being brought out, she sent word to her father-in-law, by the man to whom these belong, I am pregnant. And she said, please identify whose these are, the signet and the cord and the staff. Then Judah identified them and said, she is more righteous than I, since I did not give her to my son Shelah, and he did not know her again. When the time of her labor came, there were twins in her womb. And when she was in labor, one put out a hand, and the midwife took and tied a scarlet thread on his hand, saying, this one came out first. But as he drew back his hand, behold, his brother came out, and she said, what a breach you have made for yourself. Therefore, his name was called Perez. Afterward, his brother came out with the scarlet thread on his hand, and his name was called Zerah. Okay, so coming back to our questions, because all the questions that we asked before are answered in this passage of Scripture, who was Tamar? Go ahead. Yeah, Tamar was his daughter-in-law. Actually, very close, sister-in-law, daughter-in-law. Okay, very good. And how many babies did Tamar have in her womb? How many, Lincoln? Two, right. Twins means two. Very good. And which of Tamar's sons came out first? Perez came out first? Or was it Zerah? What does the scripture say? Afterward, his brother came out with a scarlet thread on his hand, and his name was called Zerah. He was the first to get his hand out, Zerah, but Perez actually forced his way out and became the firstborn. But not the one identified as the firstborn by the midwife. Okay, so we've answered our questions there. Now remember what the story's about. It's about Judah. Remember, we've been talking about Joseph a lot. Judah was the older brother to Joseph. And the reason why Moses, the writer of Genesis, is now bringing our attention back to Judah is so that we don't forget about Judah, because there's something very important about Judah. Now, we're going to continue on in talking about Joseph later on, but today we're going to focus on Judah, and we're going to consider why Judah is so important. So the main idea of today's teaching is that through the sinfulness of Judah, through his disobedience to God, through the darkness of his life and his sinful actions, that we are going to see God's grace shine through all the brighter. So Judah was the one that had the idea of selling Joseph into slavery. And have you any, I mean, we can understand that that's sinful, right? To have your brother, to have murderous thoughts about your brother. You want to kill him, but now you've decided, okay, we're just going to sell him into slavery. You think that's wrong, right? That's very wrong. I mean, Emma, you wouldn't want to do that to Lincoln, right? As often as y'all might disagree, that would never even cross your mind. But here, Judah and his brothers were so jealous of Joseph being treated with favoritism by their father that they wanted to have him killed. They ended up having him sold into slavery. And that's just the darkness of our sin nature. That's what it does to our hearts. It's like our hearts are darkened by our sin. But if we think about a painting, and if I were to make a painting upon a canvas, and let's say that canvas was black, but on that canvas I put beautiful colors and I draw maybe like a flower or a garden scene on that canvas, would a black canvas make those bright colors stand out brighter, or would a bright canvas make the bright colors stand out brighter? What do you think? Would the dark canvas, if I painted bright colors on a dark canvas, would the bright colors shine out brighter? Actually, if I were to put a painting up here of bright colors on a black canvas, the bright colors would shine forth even greater. Well, see right here, yeah. If I were to put that blue Carlsbad Bible Church logo onto a white background, you wouldn't be able to see some of it. But because it's on a black background, you begin to see the details in it. You see the brightness of it. And that's our sin with God's grace over it. God's grace is what shines brighter because we have the backdrop of man's sinful condition. And here we have Judah. And that's what God does throughout the Bible. He takes the sin and the shame, in particular here, the one that we see of Judah, and he's going to bring something great out of it. And now the writer, Moses of Genesis, focuses on Judah. The story of Joseph was really amazing, but Moses brings it back to God's plan for us. And that's why we have this story about Joseph inserted in between the two stories. Or we have the story about Judah being inserted in between the stories about Joseph. So why is Judah important? Why do you think Judah would be important for us to know about? If we think in the New Testament, see, we're in the Old Testament now. If we were to move ahead to the New Testament, who is the hero of the story in the New Testament? Starts with a J again. You got this one. Jesus, there you go. I knew you'd have that one, Lincoln. Jesus is the hero of the story. Jesus is the hero of the story throughout. So if Judah is important, why is he important? Because there is a family line that we're tracing all throughout the Bible, all throughout the Old Testament, and all throughout the New Testament. It's about Jesus. And the family line is that Jesus is going to come out of the family of Judah. And that is why Judah is so important here. But notice that Judah was not a good person. But then none of us are good, right? The Bible says all of our righteousness, all of our efforts to do good are to God like filthy rags, because we are not according to his standard of holiness. We do not live according to his standard of holiness. He has to make us holy through his son, Jesus Christ. So Judah was not a good person. He had done some really bad things. Not only did he sell his brother into slavery, he also caused his daughter-in-law, Tamar, to become pregnant. But then God had a plan in all of this. And the plan we see unfolding is that brilliant image of his grace on the black background of man's depravity, of man's sin. We see God's painting of grace shine through in this. So twins were born to Tamar, right? We've already confirmed that. You helped us with that, Lincoln. She had two babies. And as the babies were being born, one of the babies got his hand out first. And that was the baby that the midwife tied a scarlet string around so that it would be identified as the firstborn. Obviously, first part of the body out first to them meant firstborn. But after she had tied that string on, his hand was retracted because his brother was coming out ahead of him. So Perez pushed his way out first. So Zerah was the first to get his hand out. Perez worked his way around so he could be the firstborn. And this was all according to God's plan. Now Perez was not marked as the firstborn. That was Zerah. But Perez was chosen by God to be the firstborn, even though Zerah was the one who was identified by man's efforts, by man's working, to identify him as the firstborn. He was not God's firstborn. God unfolded it in a much different way. Perez would be the one God chose. And that's just how God's amazing way of making the one that man chooses, not the one that God chooses. And we see that throughout the Old Testament. Not the one that man chooses, but always the one that God chooses to express his privilege and to express his favor and grace through people is always the one that God elects. So when Matthew begins his gospel, we're jumping ahead to the New Testament again, when we see in chapter 1, verse 3, the family line of Judah or the family line of Jesus, who is mentioned there in Matthew chapter 1, verse 3? The one who is mentioned is Tamar, because Tamar was the mother of who? Zerah and Perez. Well, you're really good at locking in on these names. I have to go back into my notes. I'm not really good at remembering names. So Perez was God's chosen, and we see that is the reason why in Matthew, when he lists out the genealogy of Jesus Christ, he includes Tamar because she is the mother to these boys, and they are actually Judah's sons. You can go back further into that chapter 38 that we read to you to see how she became pregnant with Judah's children, but that promise that God would bring his redeemer, his deliverer, out of the line of Judah, out of the family of Judah, was fulfilled as God was showing that it was not who man identified as the firstborn, but it was who God elects to be the firstborn. And so there, Perez was born first. So, would Jesus come from the family of Joseph or Judah? Judah, exactly. We've been talking a lot about Joseph, but if we didn't have Moses insert this chapter 38 for us, we might think that it's all about Joseph, but he brings it back to showing us what God's plan is all along. That's why we have this story about Judah in here and how we can see God unfolding his plan even through someone who we would see as sinful, though we all are. So not only that, but he would descend from the son brought through Judah's sinful relationship with Tamar. Why would God choose Judah's family to be the ancestors of the Messiah? Why would God do that? Does a painting shine brighter when the colors of it are on a black canvas? Right, we just saw that. That's kind of indicated by our logo up here on a black backdrop. It was so that God's grace could be revealed and could even be more brilliant and shine out all the brighter by God using sinful man to show the greatness of his grace. You know, we can even think about the night sky. If we go out when it's still daylight, if we walk outside today, could you see any of the stars? No. But in the darkness of night, when are the stars revealed? Are they revealed in the darkness of night? And they shine out all the brighter, right? So there's some comparisons that we can make. So we see the Messiah would come from Judah, not because Judah was good, but actually because he wasn't good. That none of us are good. And the amazing thing about God's grace and his salvation is he takes us. He takes us who are sinful, and he redeems us, and he makes us like we are new in Christ, so that his grace, his his undeserving favor towards us shines out all the brighter. Final question, which son of Tamar did God choose? I think you already said it. Starts with a P. Perez. Right. God chose Perez, the one who was not marked as the firstborn, as he did with Jacob. Remember, Jacob, God is telling him that he is referring, or he is telling us that he is free to bless whoever he wants. In Jacob and Esau, God chose Jacob, right? Even though he deceived his brother. We see in Cain's sacrifice compared to Abel's that he chose the younger son's sacrifice over the older son's. And here we see it with Perez and Zerah, that God chose to elevate him and to put him in a place of his saving promise towards his people. So let's be reminded of this, and that we need to pray that God would show his amazing grace in our family and even in us, just as he did to Judah's. Okay? Any questions you guys have? So who did God choose? Mr. Perez. And why is that important? He blessed because from his family line would come our Savior and Redeemer, Jesus Christ. And that's why we know about Judah in the Bible and the importance of him, but also seeing how God's amazing grace is put on display and with man's sin as the backdrop. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you just for that display of your amazing grace that is seen not because we are good, not because our lights shine bright, but because your light shines bright, that the gospel is the power of your salvation to all who believe. And when we put our faith in you and trust in the saving work that you've accomplished through your Son, Jesus Christ, on the cross, that we can be made new, that we can be that receiver of your saving grace. And I pray it become the reality for all of those of us here that call ourselves your children, but there are many who may be still walking in darkness. And we know that you can bring that light of your salvation into our wicked and deceiving hearts. So I pray, God, that we would be counted among those who are saved and who have been redeemed by your grace. In Jesus' name, amen.